Good evening. It's good to see you this afternoon. How many of y'all are praying for white rain? 2, 3, 4, 5. Just enough to get a full day or just enough to get a delay? Either way. Huh? But y'all love to teach, I know, and you love to go to school, right? I'm trying to provoke you to lie, probably. Talked about integrity this morning, now I'm trying to provoke you. There I am. Oh, my goodness. As I'm told, I never got to meet my grandfather on either one of my parents' side, my mom's side, or my dad's side either. My dad's father was named Albert, and Albert was married 3 times and had 18 kids. With his youngest wife, which was my dad's mom, she was much younger, and they had 7 kids. So that was part of it. But as she was much younger, she lived longer. I got to meet her for a couple of years before she passed, but the story that I've been told about my grandfather was my dad was the second in line of the oldest sons, and he and his oldest brother had earned enough money that they were going to buy a small tractor. They had been plowing for years and raising tobacco in the gardens with a mule and pulling the stuff and equipment behind the mule to go with the garden. So they got tired of that and they found a good buy. They had earned enough money and they got this tractor. And so the dad didn't see much sense in it. This change in culture with all this newfangled technology and stuff, he didn't see the sense in having a tractor. But the boys bought it anyway. Well, as they used the tractor and they plowed the garden and the fields, the dad began to see how much easier that was. And he thought, well, that's probably a pretty good thing. It looks to be more efficient. It looks, quite honestly, pretty fine. So the boys got dad out there in the field and they said, why don't you get on the tractor and try it out yourself? Being of an older culture, never been on a tractor before in his life, they told him this is where the brake pedals are on both sides. This is the wheel to turn it left. Told him, explain to all the instruments that was on his tractor. And they got him started. And it began, they throttled it up, and he started plowing down the field. And everything was going extremely well until he got to the end where he was supposed to pull up and turn around. It was about that time that they kept hollering at Dad, stop, turn around. And the last thing they saw was their dad going through the barn, hollering, whoa, 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 when he went out the back side of the barn and finally ran into something that stopped him. Dad proceeded to get off the tractor, as Dad did, and said, foolish thing. Don't need them. It didn't whoa, it didn't gee, and it didn't ha. It was different. Culture still changes, don't it? I remember as a 12-year-old boy on that same farm, I got tired of picking up them hay bales as a little old 12-year-old boy trying to knead that thing up there on the back of the truck bed. They said, well, if you think that you can handle it, we'll put you inside the truck. Flatbed, old Chevrolet truck. Said, here's what goes on. You've got a gas pedal and a starter. Same place. Right here, little round buttons right above the gas pedal. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Starter. You got a brake. You got a clutch. And you got a gear stick. Let's just say that I had to get back out and start trying to haul up the bales of hay because I could not do it. I could not get my foot on the starter and the gas and clutch and brake all at the same time. I just knew that that wasn't for me until later. I just tell you all that to say that technology changes. Culture changes. Most all of us have indoor plumbing now. We're in bathrooms inside the house. Most of us have new phones or some kind of different phone that you don't have a party line. Anybody have a party line? Nobody? Not a conference call, party line. Culture changes. God's word doesn't change. God wants us to move forward and to continue to grow in the culture that we're on in and depend upon God to accomplish His will through His people and through His church to be relevant to the culture that He's planted us in. I really believe that. That we can stay true to the doctrines and what the Word of God says, that we can change with the culture to reach the culture, but we don't have to change the gospel of the culture. So I believe that God wants us to move forward, just like my grandfather eventually learned how to ride a tractor or drive a tractor. Just eventually, as I finally learned how to drive that flatbed Chevrolet truck later on in life, we need to develop what God's plan is for each of us and have a heart of compassion that we realize that we are to be God to others with the message and engage them with the gospel conversation, that we need to share God with them. Our core values that God describes to us in the Bible are these. And I think this is why that the message tonight is, what kind of church does God want? What kind of church does God want? God's values have not changed, even though His unique style and how we go about these things for Rome Creek Baptist Church may be different, but they've got to be on these core values that we've got to hold strong to. Number one is outreach. Number one is outreach. How we do that in our culture may be different than what they do in the Philippines. How they do that in Memphis may be different than the way that we do it here in Mountain City. But we're still to do that. Outreach. Worship. How many of y'all have ever been to different churches besides Rome Creek? Do they worship different than what we do? They do. How does God want us to worship here at Rome Creek where He's placed us uniquely right here? We must do it. Fellowship. We must fellowship. That koinonia. Discipleship. We must make disciples. And we must serve God. That's the last thing. We must serve God. Each culture, each generation, each church is different, but God wants every church to hold to those core values. God has a strategic plan for each church to develop, to grow with outreach, to worship, to fellowship, to discipleship, and to serve Him. And it is our desire to seek God in prayer and develop a vision that God's plan is for Rome Creek Baptist Church. And so we look at Acts chapter 1, verse 8. We are looking at the aspect and core value of outreach. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Let's just begin in verse 7. Sorry. Just back up there. It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in His own power. In other words, God's in control. We're not. Amen. But ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria unto the uttermost part of the earth. And Father, I pray that you would reveal yourself to us, that Holy Spirit, that you would engage in the conversation tonight, that God, that you would take over and that you would prevail, to encourage us to hold true to the core values but be relevant to the culture around us, that God, that we would be encouraged to go and to reach out to others and to connect them to a relationship with you, that God, whatever the cost, whatever the outside the box may be, whatever it is that you want us to do, that God, that we would be willing to go all in and to rise up, God, and to do what you call us to do with excellence. And Holy Spirit, we know that we cannot do it without you. So, Father, we call on you to empower us and to equip us. You said that we shall receive power. Father, we claim that promise in the name of Jesus. Amen. We may not know how. I mean, he just said, you will know the seasons. We might not know how. We might not know when. We might not know where God uses our witness. But God will use it. Hello? God will use our witness. People are watching us as Christians. People watch us, what we do, how we respond, what we say. You might not know. But it's for God's glory, not ours. Hello? Hello? It's for God's glory, it's not ours. We don't know that unchurched person. But we might know, we do know, that God loves that unchurched person. And that unchurched person matters to God, don't we? Everybody matters. We do know that the people that don't know Him as Lord, that they matter to God, don't they? That's a lot of people. There's a lot of people in our county. I wonder how many people we pass during the day that don't know God. They might know of God. They might know where churches are. They might know a Bible verse. But do they know God? Are they going to be in that broad group that says, depart from me, I never knew you? That don't have a personal relationship? They matter to God. They should matter to us. We do know that people that don't know Him matter. We do know that God does not want us to keep it a secret. Hello? God doesn't want us to keep it a secret about His redemption plan. God doesn't want it to keep a secret about the truth about what life is really about. He doesn't want us to keep secret, does He? I mean, have you ever been out with somebody and they said, shh, don't tell them about God? I'll tell you who tells you that. Satan will. Satan will whisper to you, they'll get mad. They don't want to hear it. They might ask you something that you don't know. You don't know the Bible really, do you? Am I telling you the truth? Does Satan ever whisper to you that way? God doesn't want us to keep it a secret. In a rapidly changing world, the truths of God are still the same. What God says is bad is still. What God says is good is still. Yes. So as this changing world around us, Jesus wants us to engage in gospel conversations with people around us. Wonder why it is it's so easy to talk about the weather, about politics, who's in jail, who's not, about sports. But it's hard for us to talk about the gospel. You think there's a spiritual battle going on there that makes us that way? That flesh nature says, don't do that. I believe there's a spiritual battle. But I believe as we pray and we're excited about what God's doing, I don't believe that we can shut up about it. Hello? I don't think you can be quiet about it. Did Jesus talk about the gospel to others? Oh, yeah. Jesus engaged in gospel conversations with rich people, didn't he? Did he do that? Did Jesus engage in conversations with tax collectors? I still can't comprehend that. I'm sorry, after these many years hearing about Zacchaeus, a wee little man. Now, he was a tax collector and just did not get whipped. He must have had some big bouncers with him. Did Jesus engage in conversations with adulterers? What about those sick people? Did he engage in conversations with them? What about those smelly fishermen? Did he engage? He even ran around with those boys, taught them and discipled them. He did that. He engaged in his own family, even his brother, his half-brother, James. He engaged in conversation with his enemies. Did he do that? Remember the centurion? What about government leaders? Did Jesus engage in conversation with them? Yeah. You reckon he'd engage in conversation with Donald Trump? Don't go there. I'm moving on. Do you think that Jesus would engage in conversations with outsiders? Remember a Samaritan woman? In the middle of the day, he engaged in outsiders. If Jesus thought it was important to engage in those folks, should we think it matters too? You may not have the opportunity to share with all those types of people, but who is God placing in your path to share and engage the gospel conversation with? Unless you sit at home 24/7 and nobody there whatsoever, there's people in your path, there's people in your way, sometimes people that get on your nerves that might need the gospel conversation. There's people that's in our path every single day. Did God place them there for us to engage in that conversation with them? It is His power working in us and through us. Somehow we got this scare tactic or fear that it's about us, or they might reject us. Somehow we've got that fear factor of when we share and engage in conversation with other people, that it's about our might. But no, it's not. It's about His power in us, working through us to share the gospel. And He says, if you'll go in My name, I will give you the power to do what I've called you to do. You just need to be My spokesman. You need to be My vessel that I want to use to share the gospel with others, that they might have the opportunity to come to know You as personal Savior, Lord. That's what He wants. He wants us to say, here I am. I'm available. God, I'm looking. I'm looking. I'm hunting. Is somebody in my path today that God placed that He wants me to share with? You never know where they are. But I will assure you that when God places that on your heart to share with somebody else, He will give you the power that you need to accomplish what He wants to accomplish. They might say to you, you narrow-minded, bigoted person, I don't want to hear from you. It's all right. They didn't reject you just then. They rejected Him. They turned Him down. They didn't turn you down. You just keep going on. You just keep sharing the gospel. Don't you lose faith, because God's promises are never slack. If He says He'll give you the power, you just step out and take that next step and receive the power that God has for you, because the Holy Spirit in you as a child of God will equip you to what you need to do and what you need to say. I've told you this before. I was in Nashville learning the faith presentation, and I was with a pastor from Memphis, Tennessee, when we went to a home, and he was doing the presentation of faith, going F-A-I-T-H, and going through the plan of salvation, and I was just supposed to be the prayer partner, And this man went to this house, talking to this man at this house, and he did not spell F-A-I-T-H. The man that I was with from Memphis spelled F-A-T, and the one guy came to know Christ as his personal Savior. He spelled fat, and this man got saved. Now you tell me God wasn't in that. God takes our availability and uses it for His glory. Because if He took our ability, I would not be here and I would not be your pastor. I ain't able. But God's been doing a work in my life that I cannot shut up and quit bragging about my Jesus. And I'm going to keep doing it. I ain't what I used to be. I'm not what I need to be. But praise God, I keep looking to Him because I think He's still working on me. And everything I share with you is something that I have to work on myself. I'm no different. I have to work on. I have to continue to know that God's power is going to work in and through me when I step out and start sharing the gospel with someone else. They say, well, you're the pastor. You're supposed to. What? I'm saved first. I'm a child of God. You're a child of God. He calls us to proclaim the gospel with somebody else. What would happen if just those of us here tonight, I don't know how many there are, not counting, but what would happen if each one of us here tonight would say, God, help me to reach one soul to the saving knowledge of you, 2019. How many would we have, Chrissy? I thought you was counting. Sorry. Would you? How many? 54? How many would we have to baptize? Came to saving knowledge because you rich one. Would that be awesome? That would be totally awesome to see how God could do that through us. The Holy Spirit of God, His attributes, He is a person. He comforts because He said He would. The Holy Spirit draws people to salvation. We get to be the spokespeople. He speaks to us, the Holy Spirit does. Speaks to me through the day. The Holy Spirit equips me, equips you. The Holy Spirit empowers you. So as we go out and share with the Jerusalem, the Judea, and the Samaria to the uttermost part of the world, geographically, God's called us to go. Geographically to go. Starts in your home, your own household. Starts in your own family. It spreads out to those friends, those acquaintances. And it spreads out even further than that to the community. To those people that you meet, to those people, geographically, we continually spread out. Does God give us a strategic plan? I believe He does. I believe He gives us a direct plan on how He wants to do it and what He wants to do. How will He strengthen families? How will He build up homes? It won't be a quick fix. We need to pray for the lostness, the spiritual lostness in our family. We need to pray for the spiritual lostness in our friends. We need to pray for the spiritual lostness in our community. Amen? And then we need to disciple them. We need to show them how to follow Christ and to develop them and disciple them. And that begins in your own home. That begins in small groups. That begins in fellowships. That begins in worship. And that begins in serving. That's a part of the discipleship. We need to continue to engage in gospel conversations with people. We need to be intentional about what we do as a church body, whether it's VBS or whatever it is, that we do it intentionally to either disciple people or reach people for Christ. That's what we're about. That's what we do. We need to contact people. When I go back to the office and I look on the thing that says contacts, I know that there's people in here that does it every week that you do contact people, you do invite people to church, you do invite them to worship, but we don't record it. Do not be ashamed to say in your Sunday school class, I had 12 contacts. Write that down. But contact. Contact other people and get in conversations with other people, because I believe if we engage in that, that we will see results from the Holy Spirit just in contacting and trying to connect people by inviting them. You see, I believe the Bible tells me that the church is God's plan. So if it's God's plan, how does He want the church to go? I believe He wants us to grow. I believe He wants us to go. And as children of God, we're to be united as one spiritual body with Christ, the head of the body, that we're to bring Him the glory, to reaching others with the gospel, worshiping Him alone, fellowshipping with one another because we like each other's company, that they'll see love one to another, that we need to disciple people to become followers and devoted followers of Christ, and that we need to serve one another and serve outside to connect people back in to the gospel of Christ, that they can hear it and that they can experience it and that they can receive it. So it's one big circle as we go and outreach, trying to reach people for Christ. Keep going, keep growing. D.L. Moody said this, "The world has yet to see what God will do with a man fully consecrated to Him." D.L. Moody said that years and years ago. The world is yet to see what God will do with a man fully consecrated in Him. Our director, Tennessee Baptist, Randy Davis, said this, "I believe that in every Tennessee Baptist caught a fresh wind of the Holy Spirit, we see such a spiritual force that the likes of what God could do through a consecrated people will have never been seen before. The gospel would penetrate every conversation, and the gospel would penetrate every community in the state of Tennessee. We have all this stuff. We have Facebook to engage others. We have church apps to engage others through prayer, devotion, sermons, Bible. We have all these events. We have worship. We have Bible study. We have a vision to grow in all these areas and develop even more ways to reach out to other people than we've already been doing with the gospel good news of Jesus Christ. Let's keep going. Let's keep growing. Let's keep building. Let's keep developing. Let's keep making disciples. Let's do it in the power of the Holy Spirit. Each one of us, reach out to one person with the gospel." So I'll leave you with this. Who is your one? Who's your one? Pray. Pray. No age limit. Who's your one? Who's your one? Let's pray.